Breakfast puppies?
Welcome, adventurers! Grab your dice bag, sharpen your axes, and hop into the meat grinder. It's time for Hammer Crawl! Hello, friends and dungeon aficionados, and welcome to another episode of Hammer Crawl. I'm your host and Hammersmith, NPC. If you're new here, you should know that this podcast focuses on the comedic exploits of a 100% randomly generated dungeon crawl adventure using a custom game system largely inspired by classic versions of D&D. This next set of episodes takes us back to this past May, where we recorded another special live adventure at WagonCon 2019. We recorded in a much, much bigger room this time, which unfortunately resulted in a bit more reverb during the session. With a lot of additional time and effort, I've managed to reduce most of it, but I apologize for any remaining artifacts that may still cut through. Now, before we get on to the meat of the episode, I'd like to give a shout out to various people who helped us out for this recording. Thank you to Arbitrary Crafts for supplying the wonderful custom-made DM screen that we were using on the stage. You can see it in some of our photographs, and you should check them out at arbitrarycrafts.com. And something else I've been meaning to do for a while is to give shout-outs to the creators of the various randomizer cards that I use. I've been using these for a while now, both during this recording and most of the previous ones. I have consolidated my workflow down to using 5 different decks of cards to generate everything on the fly. You can find links to those in the rules at github.com, but a quick shout out to Undercity Games for the Dungeon Cartography cards, Larsenus Design for the Game Master's Apprentice cards, Fat Belly Press for the Monster Mod cards, and then Eric Bright for the 2 decks of encounter building cards that I use. I want to give some extra special thanks to Just Jacob for being our MC for this event. Another very special thanks to the WagonCon crew for having us back. Thanks to Poppy Beaujolais for serving as the Grim Reaper. Also, big thanks to Dr. Xander Gerrymander for working the mixer during the live recording. Thanks to every damn person who joined us in the audience. And thanks most of all to the brave souls who dared attempt to survive the Wagon Crawl.
We want to send a couple special thank yous out. First of all, to our friends here at WagonCon, thank you again for being for inviting us back. In every way imaginable, WagonCon is our crew's home con. You guys are warm, welcoming. Everybody here is so positive. It's so friendly. You make us feel welcome, and we get to watch you all make each other welcome. We would not be doing what we're doing today if it had not been for our success at the first WagonCon. A special thank you also is going out to Arbitrary Crafts for this wonderful GM screen they're loaning us for our Hammersmith for the evening. They are a vendor downstairs. Feel free to talk to them. They do custom work as well. So go talk to them and you can get one of these to your own, to your specs. Without any further ado, I'm going to turn things over to your Hammersmith for the evening, the notorious NPC.
Welcome to Hammer Crawl, everybody. This is our second year at the Wagon Crawl events. Woo! I am NPC, your dungeon master, hammersmith, and host, but tonight I am not your friend. If you're sitting up here, that is. If you buy me a drink afterwards, we're best friends forever. And I do take bribes. Starting with the player sitting closest to me, we'll go down the table. I would like for you to speak into the mic, tell us your name, tell us your personal pronoun, and then introduce your character. however you seem fit.
So my name's Ross. He, hims. My character is Battle Dawn.
Did you say Battle Dawn?
Yes.
Battle Dawn. All right.
Babel.
Oh, Babel.
Or maybe it's Bowel. It is a V. Okay.
However you read it, that's what it is.
And Babel Dawn, what character class are you?
I am a cleric, human cleric, as it
were. Excellent. So tell me real quick, what god do you follow as a cleric?
Bouncy the Clown.
Bouncy the Clown.
Wow.
Your same to mine.
The theme has been set.
All right. I have high expectations for you. Moving on down the line.
Mine is Lady. Oh,
it's supposed to be Lady. Oh, okay. It could be Caddy.
Lady Enu? Is that right?
However you pronounce it.
Lady what now?
Enu?
Enu?
Enu? Deathbringer?
Oh, you left out that part, I see. Yeah.
Yes. Lady Enu, Deathbringer.
Gotcha. What is your character class?
I am a fighter.
Fighter?
Human fighter.
And finally, what is your name in real life?
Janelle.
Janelle. Welcome, Janelle. Next.
My convention name is Broken Razor. My pronouns are masculine, he, him, it works fine. I am playing Burly Hammerbeard. And as you might expect with a name like that.
You're a halfling, right?
I'm a human. And I'm a wizard. But should you get distracted by my name, I can reorient you by showing you my rusted nipple clamps. Because I'm always topless.
Our fourth and final member of this initial group would be?
I am Jose Greasefinger.
Okay. And what is your class?
My class is, I am a halfling burglar.
Okay. And your name is?
I am Connor Leach.
Let's go ahead and get your party roles figured out. So normally you would choose the leader. However, I tend to always favor the player sitting closest to me because you're the one I can hear. Therefore, you get to be the leader and tell me everything that the group gets to do. Congratulations, party leader. Yay! For some reason, the rest of you are following Babel the Clown. Babel Dawn, who follows Bouncy the Clown. This is going to be great.
He's a fun guy to be around.
I think it's appropriate that I'm also evil and I follow a clown god.
Yeah, yeah. So next, one of you is going to have to be the keeper of the light. Your character doesn't necessarily have to carry the light, but you need to keep track of who has what light lit. Someone is going to have to... It looks like that's going to be Greasefinger. The audience has spoken.
Yeah. The audience has spoken.
The audience has spoken.
Well, next, one of you is going to need to be the mapper. You get to hand draw your artistic renditions of the dungeon based on my veiled, vague description. All right, Lady Deathbringer has been reclaimed the map. Do you have paper? Don't we have those handy wagon con stacks around? You can just draw room by room.
Oh,
yeah. Pass us some paper.
Oh, it's graph paper. You know it's a serious map now. Graph paper's involved.
And finally, the most trustworthy member of the group, Burly Hammerbeard, the wizard.
Yes.
You get to keep track of the loot.
I will do this with full integrity.
And for the record, these roles are assigned to the seat. So when one of you dies, your successor has to take over the role. Good job. Next, party leader, I need you to roll me a D10 to determine the name of your group.
All right, here we go. 6.
Okay, why are you called Scoopers Bears?
Scoopers Bears?
Scooper. Scooper, you know, like ice cream scoop?
Right.
Scoopers Bears.
Well, Scooper was my daddy. And so I named our party after my daddy in honor of him. He was a great adventurer. Even if he did never come back after I was turned 3, and I don't really know why.
Why the bears? What's up with the bears?
Because bears are big. They're burly. Kind of like...
That's how I got on the team.
Exactly. They're scary, and we needed something scarier than Scooper. So Scooper's Bears makes us a little scarier. So I got my paw in there, and we got something scary, big.
So you are stepping into what you know to be the first part of the famed wagon crawl. It is a section of the dungeon called the Secret Chambers of Evil.
Yeah.
Evil?
Evil.
Just like home.
As long as there's not a giant pit in it, I'm good.
No pit.
No pits?
So once again, party leader, what leads you specifically with your group today into the Secret Chambers of Evil?
My God, Bouncy the Clown, spoke to me just last week and said that I really needed to go visit this place to obtain a special relic that I might be needing in the future days to come. So I had to gather together the crew and say, hey, you know, you got to, you know, hit up this dungeon and get a little relic for Bouncy. Come on with me. It'll be fun.
Excellent. Well, your party has gathered together in front of the entrance to the Secret Chambers of Evil. The Secret Chambers are hidden in, for some reason, this part of the wagon crawl is just on the outside of the nearest town. What is the name of this town?
Chiggleworth.
Were you asking me?
I'm asking the group.
Oh, sorry.
I say Jiggleworth.
Yeah.
Jiggleworth. Yeah.
All right. What kind of strange land do we live in?
I say Jiggleworth.
Jiggleworth?
Jiggleworth.
Jiggle.
Jiggleworth?
Yeah.
Okay.
They make a delicious jelly.
You get the town of Jiggleworth. Well, I guess it is an appropriate location for the local church of your clown god. So it's also probably a very creepy town. I bet there's a lot of forced cheer, like dangerously forced cheer. And so you're probably more of a somber party. Maybe you're just trying to escape the cheer into the secret chambers of evil. Heading to the entrance, it's just on the outskirts of town in a ruined part of Jigglesworth. This part did not survive the unhappiness purge of 07. Therefore, it was the perfect place to put the entrance to a dungeon. You stand in the ruins of an old urban section. The town wall has long collapsed out here. The entrance to the secret chambers of evil lies underneath what looks like a collapsed manor of some kind, just at the edge of town. What is your party's marching order? Who's first?
Not me.
Not it.
Not it.
The Deathbringer will be first.
Oh, right.
Seems fair.
Lady Inu Deathbringer.
Yes.
Who follows behind Inu?
Greasefinger, I think you should go next, probably.
All right, Greasy!
Well, I mean, I was going to say Rock's sword battle axe, but, you know, sword battle axe.
Who would follow after Greasefinger in slot number three?
I will be.
Excellent.
Bavel, the cleric.
I'm totally getting stabbed in the back. Thanks.
And finally, who is carrying your light? Someone needs to light a torch or a lantern if you're going to go in. So you actually are the one holding the light as well?
I think so.
All right. Yeah, okay. Well, go ahead and figure out what you're going to hold is either a torch or a lantern. Torches last 6 turns. Lanterns last 24. And I'll be counting.
Can we light a bedroll on fire?
The leader has a torch. Yeah. We might want to sleep at some point, so let's not burn the bedroll. So.
All right, I'll hand you my lantern. You can hold that for me.
Okay,
with the torch lit, go ahead, or the lantern lit. Was it a lantern or a torch?
It is a lantern.
Yes. Go ahead and mark off 1 turn of light on that lantern, and let me know if you do anything. Otherwise, we're going to move into that dungeon.
Are we all ready?
Yeah, I believe so.
Let's go get this relic.
Are you guys going to let them go into a dungeon without a rousing cheer?
That's see how the townsfolk like cheer for us? This is great.
Let's burn some wood.
That's our band of jigglers to see us off on the adventure.
Well, folks, let's commence to jiggling and step on down into the first room of the dungeon. Once you kind of push away some of the rubble and begin climbing down the descent into it, it opens up after only a few strides into what looks like a collapsed courtyard. There's a large pool in the middle, and the courtyard has somehow managed to be preserved in a mostly usable state. It's kind of overgrown with ferns and vines, but there's still a number of benches sitting around. There's a stagnant pool of murky water. There's a number of spots where the manor had kind of collapsed on each side, but they all sort of fell into the middle and created a kind of a tent over this area. The courtyard it's huge and wide. You see the ruins of the manor all around you. And just beneath
the water, you see only like an inch down because it's kind of not really overflowing. There is what looks like a hole in the ground, and you see the tops of a ladder.
Submerged in water.
Rusted tops of the ladder submerged in the water going down into the dungeon beneath.
Oh, sorry, guys. Dungeon's flooded. Game over. Huh?
There are no signs of any kind of monsters. It doesn't look like anyone has been through here in some time. There are no bubbles coming out of the water. It is completely still and stagnant.
Anyone have a sponge?
Not that big of a sponge.
What do you do?
And there are no other exits that I would have heard?
The way you came in, you could just go back to town, right, and hit the inn and have a good time and put it all behind you.
I do like some Jell-O, but...
Does anybody have a hose? I have a bucket. No, I lied. I don't even have a bucket. I have a mug. I would be willing to let one of you shovel the water out with it if you want.
I have a cooking pot.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll work.
Stink finger, get to work.
It's grease finger.
Oh, my bad.
I can stab you.
I know that, and I would die.
Can I throw my iron spike in the water?
You take your iron spike and you chuck it into the water. It drops a few inches down, hits the ground, and that's about it. Or do you want to throw it down?
Wait. Why don't you tie it with a rope or something? We can figure out how deep it goes.
I have 10
down.
Feet of chain.
Let me get some clarification. Are you just chucking it into the pool, or are you chucking it into the center of the pool where the ladder's going down?
If someone would kindly lend me some rope, I'd like to...
I got some chain.
I would like to tie it and then drop it down where the ladder is.
Chain. The problem with chain is it's inherently heavy. It's not as useful there. Leader, fearless leader, did you bring rope? Like you agreed you would bring rope?
As a matter of fact, I do have some chain.
Chain? And
I also have some rope.
We have so much chain in this group.
I mean, like,
and I have rope also. So I think we can use the rope for this to begin with. Sure. So I'll go ahead and hand you one end of the rope to tie onto your stake there, spike. And let's go fishing.
Okay, so you tie the rope to the chain and just chuck it in.
My iron spike, yeah.
To the iron spike. You chuck that into the water, right into the center of this pool. The pool itself is about 15 feet across, whereas the entrance is only a few feet wide in the middle.
Okay.
The spike drops down and sinks. And you keep letting it go.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of pay out the rope and see just if it strikes bottom, if I can feel it striking bottom at all.
It strikes something.
Okay. Wiggle around a little bit.
Okay. You wiggle around and it actually starts to get a little pull in it. Someone on the other side is caught. And now it's actively being pulled.
We're fishing for water.
It's actively being pulled now. Yeah. All right. I think there might be something down in that hole there, folks.
I throw my back into it and help the fearless leader pull it out. I flex my burliness.
We'll see if we can, we'll see what we pull back up with this.
Okay. So you're pulling at the rope. Your whole group is just gathered together, yanking at this rope. And after a few moments, you feel like a splorch. It's like this slimy. Of this slimy mass comes popping out. The water begins draining, and this mass, this greenish, weedy plant is now attached to the chain or to the rope. The spike has sunk within it, and it's beginning to unravel.
Like it's just falling open, or like it's moving like it's a living thing?
It's probably beginning to move like it's alive.
Is the chain dissolving?
No.
Okay, we're good.
But there was a rope, actually, but yeah. Okay, so the rope is not dissolving, but this thing is kind of starting to open it up.
The rope is now quite soggy, and at the end of it, where it contacted the thing, it looks pretty gross. You should put it in your mouth.
That sounds delicious.
No.
I want to touch it with my staff.
So you're going to walk up to the mass and poke it with your staff?
Yes.
Excellent. You go up and poke at it. Thump. It is a splorch again as it hits it. And the staff is now being pulled into the mass. Tendrils are shooting up at you. And at this point, it's going to make an attack against you. What is your armor class down there?
Hold on.
It should be under your combat stuff on the left side of the page.
14.
14. It misses you. This is a leafy tendril just snakes out. You yank your stick back, manage to dodge it. And at this point, we're going to do some combat. The leader rolls a D10. You add your wisdom mod and your dex mod.
Just the leader.
I'm sorry, team. We got a 2.
Ouch.
We should have consulted our wisdom and dex before choosing a leader.
Unfortunately, the leafy mass is going first.
You are slower than a plant.
The leafy mass actually sort of breaks apart and becomes 6 leafy masses of about goblin size that start to kind of tumble and roll like stinky, slimy tumbleweed in your direction.
That just got a lot worse quickly.
So it looks like Lady Inu is in the front, which means that the first few are coming at Inu. However, that halfling did poke them, but halfling, you have a special thing, which means you're basically always attacked last. unless you demonstrate that you are a capable target.
Which you did not do by poking it with a stick.
Which you did not do. Lady Inu, what is your armor class?
My AC is 15.
15. The two of them both come at you and hit you for 2 and 3 points of damage, respectively. This kind of sopping, burning, it's just climbing up into your armor and unhooking it and trying to like get up in there. And it's little spikes are coming out of it and sinking into your flesh. These things have more of a bite than they look at.
That was 3 points of damage?
That's 3 points of damage. No, 2 and then 3. So 5 points of damage total. There are 2 more coming up next. Greasefinger?
Yeah.
Stinky. You, what's your armor class?
My armor class is 14.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. Greasefinger is the halfling. So Grease is Nick. Babel, you are the next one.
On
the
My AC is 16.
16. Both of these 2 tendrily masses lunge at you. Unfortunately, neither connects. And finally, the other 2 break off and go towards this massive, strange nipple clamp thing over here. And what is your armor class?
I'm a wizard, so it's a 10.
It's a 10. neither of them hit you. And in fact, one of them opened itself up to you to get a free hit against. Roll your hit die for your damage.
Ha! He's going to regret that.
And tell me how you hurt it.
Well, my magical wizard staff, glistening with energy, strikes out at it. The metal chains on the end of the staff itself dancing with the plant-like tentacles.
How much damage did you do?
My low strength doesn't take away from damage, does it?
If you have a strength penalty, it does.
I do. So he got 3 maximum damage.
Hey, well done. It is now your group's turn. Hammercrawl normally has a special structure to combat order, but for the sake of speeding things along, we're going to do it kind of popcorn style. So any of you who wishes to go first can go first and then pass it on to whoever you think should go next.
I'm just going to take a stab at this and see if I can get us moving along here quickly. I kind of really want to get into the dungeon itself. Getting stopped at the first room is kind of bothering me. So I go ahead and just lift up my holy symbol, which is basically the nose of a clown costume. And I try to use my class ability here to turn back these plant enemies and see if I can just get them to leave us alone.
I might allow
this. Normally it's for undead, but it's also for enemies of the faith.
Right, now, exactly.
I need you to tell me historically why Bouncy the Clown particularly hates plants. I mean, it's a very specific hatred here. I don't ever remember any clown versus plant fiction when I was growing up. So,
well,
do you need a lifeline from
there
the
audience? There was this incident where in Bouncy's youth, as a kind of a pre-god or a teenage god, as it were, where they were performing a certain stunt and some potted plants happened to get in the way, didn't notice them, tripped over them. Goddess Helena was watching. Really embarrassing. So he's kind of never had a liking for potted plants ever since then.
What says the audience?
Yeah!
All right, cool.
Thank you for that one person.
Yeah. All right, well, Bouncy the Clown is the enemy of the plants. So tell me what happens. It has a roll to it. I believe you're going to roll a d20. Yes, I have to make a roll.
The opponents make saving mind throws. Saves. Yeah.
Three of them begin to slink back down the hole where the water used to be. Three of them remain. It's your choice which three.
Well, three closest to me, of course, would be the ones that would be trying to get away from me.
So those would be the two that were on you. And I'm guessing then one that's also attacking your wizard.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. who's going next?
I would like to reach up, grab one of my nipple clamps, rip it off, throw it on the ground, and let out a glorious battle cry. Can I use that as a tactical action to inspire my friends?
Only if we hear the battle cry. All right.
What?
That's what I imagined it would sound like. Ouch.
Well, so
it hurt describing that.
Here's how we'll do this. I'll have you roll a d20 and add your charisma modifier to that.
I like that.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm charming. my
That's
character.
One word for it.
Nine.
A nine, unfortunately, isn't that rousing. And it's also kind of weird.
Well, it was rousing enough for Burley. All right.
Who's next?
I'll slap the crap out of the two that hit me.
As a fighter, you get two attack dice. So you can roll 2d20 and both of them may hit.
Yep.
Probably not with a two.
These things only have an AC of 12.
No. I missed the first one. And I missed the second one.
Oh, poor fighter. Not really inspiring
anybody. I'm really hurt right now. Yeah. So I'm kind of shaken. Mm. I'm not used to this. They're kind of gross. Lady Deathbringer does not do gross.
Oh, if only my this, motivation. Round for your group is Jose Greasefinger.
I shall use my staff to beat them up.
Yeah, go ahead and make an attack.
That is a 6.
He shall not.
He shall not. Not a 12. Not a 12. Okay, let's do initiative again.
All right.
It's okay if you want to roll better. Or another one is cool, too. That's.
I appreciate that's a 1.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go first here. So back to these guys. There's one currently trying to munch on your wizard. And it unfortunately doesn't succeed at that.
It was intimidated.
There's two on the fighter. That's a natural 20.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
that could be.
Do you have something that saves you?
Yeah. I'm going to do not today. That's not going to happen. So anything that reduces my positive hit points to 0, I remain up at 1.
Okay, yeah, you would take 6 points of damage.
Yeah, so that would put me down.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you managed instead to not today that, and you're currently at 1 hit point.
Yes.
Oh, well. As you shake off this horrible mass
that's trying to
eat you through the legs of your armor. And I think that's all three of them. So it's your group's turn again. In what order do you wish to go?
I'm pretty pissed, so I want to slap the crap out of these nasty, nasty slimes.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to hit them both again. Hopefully I do. No. These dice.
She's actually rolling an 8-sider over here. It's...
Oh, I hit one.
Okay. So just roll your hit die.
Okay.
Wow. Plus one. D8 plus one. That's not bad.
Plus one. Okay. Yeah, that's not bad. A six,
and I think you already hit this one, right?
I haven't hit anything.
Oh no,
I've been
flailed ineffectively.
The wizard hit one earlier.
I did.
You did. Okay, so 6. 6 is not going to take those down.
These are
tough mugs.
Okay, all right.
The one that I injured, is it still around?
The one that you injured is still there, trying to kill you. Yeah. Oh. and feast upon you and pull you back down into a watery grave.
Well, it turns out, due to someone's great narration, I have an action that might be useful, unlike the nipple thing. I have a vial of holy water, which is actually clown tears, because I only know one cleric. And we've established clowns and plants don't get along. So I'm going to throw the vial at that one and see if I can burn it, scald it, or scare it away.
Let's make a ranged attack on that to see if you hit it.
Better than a kick in the head. You know, I think I'm going to try an 8 this time because the 9 seemed too high.
You don't hit it, but fortunately, the glass doesn't shatter. So the vial of holy water sort of sporches.
I'm literally too weak to break a glass vial.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't waste it. It's just rolled away.
Okay.
Who's next?
I'll go ahead and step in.
Okay.
So I'm going to see if I can protect my fighter.
What? I'm just kidding.
So swinging my blackjack at planned here. See what I can manage. 13.
You need a 12 or higher to hit him.
A 12 or higher. So still good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And roll your damage.
All right. I think that's just a D6 here.
Yep.
Unless you have a strength modifier.
So with the strength modifier, it'd be a 2, I think. So I got a roll 3 minus 1, correct?
We are weak.
So 2 points.
Oh, my God.
And which one are you attacking?
Oh,
that was one of the ones going after the lady here.
Okay, I'm just going to be nice this time for the sake of accounting and say you hit the one that's already hurt. And you managed to take that one down. I want you to describe its death.
Well, blackjack is not exactly a great weapon.
It's just a rock and
strike
a sock.
Exactly, to strike a plant. So it's just kind of like this mulchy, bludgeoning, just green slime all over the floor. And I was just beating at it and beating at it and beating at it until it finally stops moving, basically.
And that's a clown doing that, by the way. Clown versus plant. You win this round.
Clown cleric.
And finally, Greasefinger. I think you're up.
Use that blackjack technique he used. Make it a pulp.
I'll make a slime with a pulp with my blackjack as well.
And for the record, which one are you attacking? There's one on the wizard. There's two on the fighter.
The wizard.
There's one on the wizard and one on the fighter.
The one on the wizard is injured, so you can take it out.
Yeah, I'm taking out the one on the wizard.
All right.
Not that I want you to die, but I'm willing
to make
that sacrifice.
A 7 does not hit.
Okay.
Yeah. A 17 or a 7?
7.
7. No.
At this level, we're mostly misses. We are odds of hitting.
Initiative, Ross.
Did I hit the wizard?
All right, here we go. See if I can get a little higher than
Table Dawn.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. A 1. Consistency. This is why we recruited him.
Well done.
So yes, that was a 1 again.
I just realized the whole party has strength penalties except for the fighter. We are
well. Your complete slowness is inspiring to the plants, which decide that you having turned away their companions, they're going to take you out because you are the most dangerous target. And so the remaining two are kind of like slither over and start climbing up you. And, you know, they're just not
just hide behind my tower shield.
They're not getting a good purchase here. Does a 3 or a 7 hit you? I don't think so.
Nah,
anyway.
AC of
16.
You're
not quite certain how much longer the others will be gone, though. Sometimes that whole effect tends to wear off when you turn away the unholy.
All right.
So chop, chop.
Maybe kill some of the ones that are still
here. Yeah. Yeah, you might want to do that.
Okay, so I think we're up, right?
I think you're up.
Since they're attacking me, I'm going to go and kind of take the first whack at them, as it were. So I'll go ahead and swing out from behind my tower shield and smack at one of them with my blackjack again here. Oh, not this time.
That was not this 2. Time, Mr. Clown. Next.
I'm going to attack.
Okay, with what?
Just my sword.
Cestus?
My cestus, yeah.
Oh, so your big old spiky glove?
Oh, yeah. You got a dagger as well.
Yeah. Whichever one does the 1d8 damage?
They all do.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to do my cestus. I'm going to punch him.
Yeah, hit dice in this game, you're determining both your hit points and how much damage you do.
Oh, that's a 1,
oh,
folks.
No.
Oh, no. Can I get a rip in the chat?
Oh, you did not just
we
punch
me.
We have
the first crit of the game. Can I get that one more time with a little bit more feeling, folks?
I love you. Why are you hating me today?
It was nice knowing you.
Can I get a rip in the chat?
That opens you up to an attack in which the rotten mass of vegetation leaps upon you, right onto your face.
Oh, God.
Begins to claw its way down your throat and into your eye sockets for 6 points of damage.
And I'm down.
It's a face hugger. It's a face hugger. Woo!
But she's not frightened because she's equipped with crippling apathy.
Yeah.
Lady Death Dealer.
I did not do any deaths.
You just dealt your
you
own.
You dealt a death. It was to you.
Please gather up your character sheets and proceed to the stairs to meet the Grieber.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Can you just get my dice back?
Well, thank you very much.
Well, at least I won't have to pay you.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of Hammer Crawl, a comedic, actual play dungeon crawl podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, please let us know. You can send us your feedback via the link in the show notes. And of course, we always appreciate reviews on iTunes and other platforms. If you want to hear more, subscribe to our feed in your favorite podcatcher and check us out at breakfastpuppies.com/hammercrawl. And don't forget to check out the official game rules and ever-evolving World Bible on GitHub. Just search for Hammer Crawl. We've got links there to all of the randomizers that we use, too. Our opening theme song is Chain Lightning by the awesome D&D metal band Gygax. Check them out on Bandcamp via the Creator Destructor production label. Additional background music was provided by the excellent dungeon synth artist Irang, who you can also find on Bandcamp. And if you want to help us pay the bills, check out our Patreon campaign and also our Pinecast tip jar, both linked within the show notes. Your contributions are unnecessary, but very much appreciated, because the Hammer Crawl podcast and role-playing game are labors of passion and love that will always be free. Your Hammer Crawl lesson of the day is the renowned hatred between clowns and potted plants may be something that you can use to your advantage.